This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Thomas, what are you doing?
Did you see the message boards post? I think I sent it to you on Twitter.
What are you doing?
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
What are you doing? Oh my gosh, let me scroll down and pull the actual article before we get going. Oh my god. Like, I thought it was fake yesterday. Right there. Thank you, Pete Nakos. All right, here we go.
So fun that that's the world we live in, too, where, like, you have to immediately be so on guard for
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Tuesday, June 24? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're hanging out live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. You guys are watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page, the Bama Central YouTube page, on my own social media machines at JoeGaither6. We appreciate everybody who's watching us. You can listen to us as well on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, Bubble, Red Circle, really wherever you get your podcasts. You can type the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, and it'll pop right up all, 475-something episodes over the last couple of years. So you can go all the way back and track all my bad takes, or just listen to today's episode and send it to a friend. We're going to have a lot of fun today on a Tuesday in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. We're going to talk a lot of recruiting. Alabama was busy yesterday, hitting on a few, missing on a few. Oh, my heart. Kamari Brooks, my heart. Oh, man. Well, it wasn't a take. It wasn't a take for Alabama. It was just, you know, backed off. Bama backed off, truly. No. We'll talk about Thomas Castellanos to get the show rolling, and then we will talk about two football commits, one basketball. I don't know if he's really a commit because he's coming in. He's signed. He's ready. He's ready to go. He's on the roster.
Signee.
Exactly. So we'll talk about a basketball player. We'll talk about a few guys that Alabama missed out on yesterday and how the staff is pivoting and really just the staff's approach to recruiting as we get going right here on a Tuesday morning. We appreciate everybody who's tuning in to us. Call Derek Daniel at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel and State Farm is there. They're upstairs right now waiting to take your phone call. They'd love to talk insurance with you. Derek put out a post yesterday, Mason, said he just saved a family $85 a month on their home and auto insurance, combining them, getting them away from their previous carrier and on to Derek Daniel. And look, I know maybe $85 a month doesn't sound like a lot to you, but that's a good, that's a tank and a half of gas to me. So that's great. You can call Derek and see what you can save today. See how you can save money as well. 205-758-3391. With that, we want to make sure you follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. He's writing all things recruiting for the Walsh Writing Network, BamaCentral.com, Missouri Tigers on SI, Vanderbilt Commodores on SI, and the Boston College Eagles on SI. Mason had a busy, busy, busy weekend. Follow him at MAWoods_. He was over at the Home Depot lifting heavy weights yesterday. How we doing today, sir?
Doing good, doing good. Ready to get into it. I think we have a lot of fun things to talk about today. Pretty good weekend. Pretty action-packed weekend. Pretty action-packed Monday. So, yeah, we got a bunch to get into.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. The first thing that we have to talk about is Thomas Castellanos.
He's my new favorite person in college football.
Mike Norvell, did you not know? These were the things that were going to come out of his mouth, or are you comfortable with it? Like either one. Basically, Norvell's like, we're getting fired anyways if we go 2-10, so you may as well just be yourself. Wow! If you didn't see it or don't have an On3 Sports subscription, you surely saw the BamaCentral.com aggregation. I aggregated the only quote that was really Bama relevant, so we'll go straight to that. But this article. Unbelievable. This article, to me, I'm reading through it after the show. It drops like 2 minutes after I hit end yesterday with Theo. And thank God for that, because we would have spent an hour on it and burned today's show. But I'm sitting there, jaw open, and Theo's like, what? And I said, is this a fake article? No, I'm on Three Sports. I'm so Pete Nakos. He's highly credible, highly, you know, does great work.
I thought surely it was no Three Sports.
Right. Unbelievable. So Thomas, going all the way down to the very, very bottom of the article, Thomas Castellanos scored 3 touchdowns in a week 1 win over Florida State last year as Boston College opened the season 3-1. He starts his career, his FSU career, with Alabama coming to Tallahassee on August 30. The game gives the Seminoles a chance to set the tone for 2025. Thomas Castellanos fully believes the Seminoles can put the nation on notice with a week 1 win over Alabama. And here goes the quote. I'm excited, man. People, I don't know if they know, but if you go back and watch every first game I've played in, we always start fast. I dreamed a moment like this. I dreamed of playing against Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I don't see them stopping me. And then the ACC, I feel like I tore the ACC up by my damn self for the last 2 years. And now I'm with a squad. I hope people don't think Florida State's going to be the same team it was last year, because we have weapons. People can't just sit back in zone coverage and watch me. End quote.
Now, what would you define tearing up the ACC as?
I would define, now, so are you looking at his stats from last year?
I am. Good, perfect, perfect.
Can you do some quick math? I would define it as at least 3,500 all-purpose yards. Passing, he's a runner. You can throw passing and rushing yards. That's how I would define it. 3,500 combined, and I would define it as, it doesn't matter passing or rushing, give me 25 total touchdowns, right? That's roughly 2 a game. That's one game you have a third. That's like 2.2 a game or so. You can't be turning the football over, so we're going fewer than 12 games. Are we going fewer than eight or fewer turnovers? So we'll give you one turnover for the league games. Yeah, that's where I'm at. So where does he fall in those bars?
Well, he only played in eight games last year because he was benched.
Right.
So that's important context. So we'll run through his 2023 stats when he was a full-time starter. 2,200 passing yards, 1,100 rushing yards.
So close.
15 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
Hey!
We completed 57% of our passes in 2023. You had you averaged a little over 5 yards a carry. You know, this past season before he was benched, he was sitting at just over 1,300 passing yards with less than 200 rushing yards. So not really having the same effect that I would say. I'm not sure that at any point in his college career you could say he has torn anyone up or anything up.
He's an above average starter. He's an average starter.
He's a dangerously mediocre starter. That's what I would call him.
Yeah.
He's just decent enough to, if you're not paying attention, he might break a decent runoff or something. But if you just lock in a little bit, Thomas Castellanos is not going to beat you. I think Bill O'Brien learned that very quickly last year.
Oh, they got Squirrel White in the transfer portal from Tennessee. Oh, man, super dangerous. Now, he was a good player, but oh, man, they got Roydell Williams. Okay, I'm just looking at their R lads. Deuce Robinson, where are you from, my friend? Junior transfer. You've got the transfer moniker out of USC. So he had 23 catches, 400 yards, and 5 touchdowns at USC last year. So you got to, I mean, Roydell, we love you, but there's a reason you're not here and you're not in the NFL either.
My favorite thing is right after anytime anything happens like this, you know, you go read the message board meltdowns, and my favorite comment that I'm seeing is just, why are we always the most embarrassing thing possible? This is, I don't believe that many Florida State fans are okay with what Thomas Castellanos said. You know, there's a few holding out hope here that, oh, I've never been this fired up for a week one game. Not many of them holding that sentiment. This was, I mean, as bad of a thing as you could have done.
Yes.
I don't really know. I don't know that you could have said anything really, you know, I mean, I guess you could have just outright said Alabama's a terrible football team and we're going to beat them by 50. And that maybe would have been a little worse. But you directly poked the bear that you have to face. And what have we decided now? What are we at? 67 days?
67 days away. And
about two months.
You go, oh, Nick Saban isn't coming to set. We did 9-4 last year is fine without Nick Saban. I mean, below the Bama standard.
What was Florida State last year?
2-10. No bowl game.
Bobby Bowden ain't walking through that door. He ain't coming to save you.
Exactly. Good point. Exactly. What, Mickey Andrews was their longtime defensive coordinator who was really, really good back then. So I was like, no, you ain't got Mickey Andrews either. Like, Ty Simpson should say that today.
That would be great. That would be great.
Ty Simpson should just go out there. Yeah, we're really excited. I ain't got Mickey Andrews calling the defense anymore. just say it stone cold straight face.
Jameis Winston, he's in the NFL, isn't he? Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. Look, supreme confidence, and I will say I respect that. I respect anybody that has the confidence to say something so bold that is the rest of us know is just stupid. I can respect that because that takes a level of hair on your chest that I may not have myself. But man, just foolish, just very, very dumb. This is something I think I saw someone, I saw a lot of people saying this on Twitter. I don't remember exactly who the first person was, but Diego Pavia is allowed to kind of say things like this. He beat Alabama. Say what you will about it, whatever, but he did it. He is allowed to go on his podcast circuit and claim that Vanderbilt is going to run the state of Tennessee. He can do those things because you know what? Damn it. He beat Alabama. He beat Auburn.
We went to a bowl game.
I mean,
we
come
won
on.
A bowl game.
You just don't. You have not built up this level of rapport, Florida State. You are a program that is sinking, drowning under the quicksand right now. I understand you've picked up a few commits the last few days, but things are not looking good in Tallahassee.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, Vanderbilt is a program that has some wind in its sails.
Yeah.
You know, that we're moving in a direction. We won a bowl game. We got it. Florida State's a program that hit a brick wall.
Your coach had to take a pay cut so that he could pay your players NIL. If that doesn't tell you where your program's at, I don't know what does.
No, look, Florida State can still win this game.
Sure. And we're going to look like idiots if they do.
No, we're not. But it's... Well, maybe so, and I'm comfortable with that. Whatever.
Yeah, fine with me.
I'm comfortable with that.
They won't.
They could still win this game, but this is a really bad formula for how you win this game, right? You win... Did you see the Alabama defenders on going in there?
I did.
You had Kelby Collins with like the upside down smiley face. You had LT Overton with the laughing smiley. Hey, none of them said anything.
No.
Which I appreciate. It was just the emoji reaction. It was just the weird the yellow faces and whatnot. Our man Xavier Griffin commenting as well.
Coming later this week.
Absolutely. And golly, you gotta get him now after yesterday. Yeah. You have to.
We've talked about it a
you
lot.
Think Gus Malzahn's just gassing him up. You think Gus Malzahn's, hey man, I got the formula.
Yeah, I think at this point you kind of have to steer into it. You've dug yourself a hole. If your quarterback is this confident, that's a good thing. Like you should have a quarterback that is this confident. You should not have a quarterback that is this stupid to go and say these things in the public space, but. You want this level of confidence from your quarterback. So if you're Gus Malzahn, if you bring him into your office and yell at him and call him stupid, like that's just going to kill any bit of confidence that he has. So you got to just ride with it now. You've made your bed and you got to lie with it. It is what it is. I do think Gus Malzahn probably has he is in that space of like, oh, I've got it. I've got something for him.
We're putting on this Nick Marshall tape. Yeah. We're putting on this Nick Marshall tape and he's saying, look, I got Nick Marshall to go 11 of 16 for 97 yards and two touchdowns. And then he also ran for 99 yards and another touchdown. Can you take 17 carries, Castellanos? Can you just kill him death by a thousand cuts, yeah. Paper cuts? Nick Marshall, 5.8 yards per carry in that upset. So, yeah, Marshall goes, what's that, 97 and 99? That's basically 100. That's 196 total yards and three touchdowns against Alabama in that opener. And, like, was Nick Marshall an amazing quarterback? No. No.
Miracle run. No, he was bad, but just like, man, that run was crazy. Like every break that could have possibly fell his way did. It was like the man would throw the worst lame duck passes Ooh. You've ever seen, and they would bounce off 12 defenders and land into, you know, I can't even remember the receiver's name now.
Sammy Coates.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Looking at the box score.
Yeah. Just, man, crazy.
I'm not going to claim that I remember this. I pulled up the box score in this. Sammy Coates, CJ Uzama, Quan Bray, Cameron Artis Payne, Ricardo Lewis got a -1 yard catch.
That's what I'm thinking, Ricardo Lewis. I remember that name well.
And Corey Grant got a catch as well in that game. No, my memory is not good enough to pull that all offhand. We're looking at the box scores because, like, to me, you've got, like, that's the parallel. Yeah. Like, he's not Jarrett Stidham in the upset. He's definitely not Cam Newton in 2010. Like, he's somewhere in between and maybe a little better than Nick Marshall. Probably a little better than Nick Marshall.
Maybe. What did we say? He was 60% of his passes last year for 1,300 yards. And, well, I mean, 18 touchdowns, that's pretty good in 8 games. That feels like that's got to be combined, right? There's no way he was throwing 18 passing touchdowns in 8 games.
No. And Nick Marshall, that senior year, went 2,500 passing yards, 20 total passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And then he also had rushing, roughly 800 rushing yards and another 11 touchdowns.
That's pretty good comp. I think they're right pretty much in line with each other there.
Mm-hmm. Now, this defense last year struggled a little bit with quarterback run, a lot of bit with quarterback run. And you just, like, obviously Ken Walmack's going to make it a focus through these, through spring ball. Mm-hmm. I bet you spring ball was just a K-Dot Caruth, buddy. You're running your tail off. You're running all these concepts. We're going to try to work this out. We're going to try to iron this out.
All these clips that we've seen of A.J. McCarron talking about how horrible the conditioning was. Like, I bet it was that times 1,000 for these defensive linemen, these edge rushers, these linebackers, just to stop quarterbacks from running.
It just seems like a bad recipe to pull off an upset.
Yeah, and I mean, and also, like, I understand, you know, you have a full year of tape last year to go off for this Alabama, this new Alabama defense that Kane Womack has brought in. But, you know, Gus Malzahn hasn't played against this defense. He don't know what's going on. This is not the same defense you were able to cut up, you know, 10 years ago. It's just not the same. I understand they struggled last. It's just, you know, the parallel is there, I think, obviously, between Thomas Castellanos and Nick Marshall, similar players. And, you know, he's going to use that experience he has there with a quarterback of that skill set. But I think he is probably a little more confident than he should be because, you know, this defense is very different than it was. Defenses in general are very different than they were. They're so much more athletic now. And, you know, that probably comes into play, I would imagine.
All right, I'm looking at South Alabama. I'm looking at Kane Womack's time down there. Let's see if we get any crossover with Gus Malzahn at UCF or Gus Malzahn at Auburn. Because you make a good point right there. He hasn't seen it. 2021 to 2023. So I just looked at 23, 22. Any crossover with Auburn or UCF? No, again. And 2021. Let's see. Come on. Surely they played Auburn, right? Or UCF? Nope. Yeah, never played them. No experience with that tangling against each other. Yeah. And obviously, Gus was already gone by then. Gus was 13-20 at Auburn, so no crossover with UCF. No game with UCF at that time.
Man, I bet Auburn fans are. How many Auburn fans are still upset about firing Gus Malzahn?
A lot still,
especially now.
Oh, I would my imagine. God! Look, Alabama fans who are upset about yesterday. Look across the state.
I think it's three decommitments in the last 3 days, or what, well, now 4 days, but as of yesterday, I think it was 3 decommits in 3 days for Auburn.
Mason, do you know the app 18 Birdies?
I have done a little bit of research into it this morning.
It's after learning phone.
Some about it. Yes, I tried to get myself a GHIN number, and yeah, I didn't realize you had to like pay, and I was like, all right, I'm not doing that yet, but when the time comes, we'll be getting there, and we will be tracking some some coach golfing.
If you're not familiar with all the rumors and smoke, 18. Look, if you're not a golfer, there's an app called 18 Birdies, and they've got what 90 something percent of the golf courses in the country loaded into them, and you can keep up with your stats and keep up with your scores, and I can keep my score on my phone, and you can send your scores to your buddies and get. Mm-hmm. But you can look people up on there.
Yes, you can.
Oh, Gus Malzahn been playing a lot of golf in June. I think I saw 10, 11 rounds. Something
Hugh
like
Freeze.
That. Thank you. Thank you.
One and the same. I bet Gus has been playing some golf too.
No, well, he's got a little less pressure on him. Hugh Freeze. Thank you very much. Hugh Freeze. Been playing 10, 11 rounds in the month of June. Indeed. And look, this is the time to play some golf, but
not if you're the head coach. This is the most like critical recruiting time of the calendar. This is when half of your class is making their commitments.
I'm not calling Billy today. I'm going to hit the fairway.
It's just, you know, man, I understand, Hugh. Maybe you wish you had more time to get some rounds in, but you got bigger fish to fry. You are going to – maybe he's just – I've been saying it for years. He's just sandbagging. He wants that buyout. He just wants to get fired.
He's doing the Saul Goodman.
He just wants to get fired.
He's doing like the Saul Goodman track of just like the least amount possible, and they'll fire me eventually, and it'll be good. And I'll just enjoy these Auburn golf courses, these Montgomery golf courses.
Ooh, not looking good out there on the plains.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what they had in Gus Malzahn,
but they can't really move on from him because of all the money that's tied up in other places. They're still paying. I'm sure they're still paying Malzahn.
They're probably still. Yeah, I mean, they're still paying him. They're probably still paying Harsin. They're, you know,
Gene Chizik too.
Wouldn't shock me.
Wow. So there we go. Thomas Castellanos. The last few quotes in here that are interesting. Florida State has been the school I always wanted to go to. It's my dream school. I just felt it was right. I remember the last time I went to a 2-10 team and I had a successful season. I wanted that challenge to come over here and turn this thing around and get it back to where it needs to be. And plus, I feel like I had a pretty good season or two seasons there at BC. I feel like if I did what I did over here, then I'll be way bigger. It'll mean a lot more to Florida State. He goes, talking about Gus Malzahn, he's just giving me the keys and allowing me to just be me. Just go out there and play football within the offense. That's what I need. I don't need a dog collar or a leash on me. I just need a coach to say, just go be you, go play. That's what I was missing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sounds like he was just a little upset that Bill O'Brien said, hey, buddy, could you, like, not throw as many interceptions?
Do you want to play running back?
We can set that up for you. Look, if you don't want to throw the ball, we can make you. We can just move you on over.
Slot receiver. He continues, all they need, Florida State, is 1 year. I feel like I have the skill set to be one of the best. Now I just have to turn this thing around for these guys, for this community, this fan base, and the staff. I'm not just playing for Florida State. I'm playing for the coaches who are fathers, who have homes and families here. I'm trying to save jobs and win.
This is not... This is... A strange look into the psychology of Thomas Castellanos here.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know. I read that quote and think, what, savior complex, God complex?
It's very strange. Yeah, I don't know what has really given him this complex. We ran through his stat. He was not that good at, but he was very middling at Boston College.
It was everybody else. Yeah, I was the one-man show there.
I don't really understand where this is coming from. Was he a very highly rated prospect coming out of high school?
I want to know. My next thing is, are they playing Florida? Are they playing Boston College this year? I hope so. Come on.
I want to say I saw that they were, but I might just be totally wrong there.
Because Bill O'Brien, let's see. No, not on the schedule. That's sad. The college football gods need to give us that one. Remove the Pittsburgh game and give us Boston College.
This was not a very highly touted. He was a three-star prospect, three-star athlete prospect coming out of high school. When was Malzahn at UCF? Was that 2022?
21-3, I think. Hold on.
He did originally. He spent some time with Malzahn at UCF. Then I guess they overlapped.
Yeah, 2021 to 24.
Okay, so they're a little familiar with each other then.
So he was at UCF first,
I guess,
before
so.
Boston That's, College.
He was looks like he enrolled at UCF first.
Let's see.
Yeah,
let's
you're see. Right. I see that. But UCF 2022.
So I don't even know if he
appeared in five games, completed 9 of 16 passes for 75 yards, entered the transfer portal, and chose Boston College. So how was that relationship with Gus Malzahn?
I don't even know what to make of this.
Right.
I really don't. I really don't even know. This is strange. This feels like, again, maybe this all blows up in my face. Maybe I'm totally wrong and I'm looking like a fool here in, what we say, 67 days.
Yeah, they had John Rice Plumlee right then, and he was the Ole Miss transfer. Yeah.
I swear he spent 15 years in college.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you, okay, he probably was like, well, I'm moving on because Plumlee, he had a couple years, and he got hurt like the next year, very early into the next year, didn't he? Man.
This just feels like it is going to, and I said it might, maybe it blows up in my face, but it feels like it's going to just really blow up in there.
Yes, like, it does.
There's so many red flags, so many like alert signals going on with everything I'm hearing about this situation, everything I've heard from Tomas Castellanos now, everything I know about Gus Malzahn. It's just like,
does it not sound like he's trying to talk himself into it?
Yeah. It's very strange.
That's what it sounds like to me, is I'm trying to talk myself into it. Fake it till you make it, baby.
We will see what happens.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I we've talked about LT Overton turning a lot of those almost sacks into sacks this year. Maybe we will be seeing that week one, I hope.
Hey everybody, happy June.
We can only a few more days we can play that. Oh my gosh, we should probably move on because I'm just flabbergasted.
Yeah, genuinely, like you said, I thought I had to, had to pinch myself that was real. Like, I could not believe that someone he had actually said that. Couldn't believe that one Florida State PR let that, get out.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow they weren't able to stifle that before this story. Because I tell you what, Ryan Williams said something like that, it's getting buried within 5 minutes. You're never hearing about it. It's crazy. Just crazy.
But Nakos is the type, you're not going to tell him, hey, you can't write that.
Maybe for Florida State.
Yeah.
I imagine there's some programs that have that level of pull with some writers. Or some, not even, no, not writers, the but some
The difference
outlets.
Is, not that, but the Alabama crew, they're saying, let's keep it dialed in.
Sure.
Let's keep it reined in when you go talk to
that's exactly what it is.
Nakos. Let's keep it reined in. Hey, why don't you enjoy yourself? Ryan kind of enjoyed himself with Coach Gruden at their little deal or whatever. But let's keep it somewhat in between the lanes here.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's very controlled as far as, brief with whoever is conducting this interview. Hey, this is what we're covering here. This is what we're not covering here. We're not going to get into these things. We are going to have... It feels like there was not a lot of that. It feels like this was just, all right, Thomas, here's your hour. Go sit down and go talk, buddy.
Oh, and Nako said, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Sign me up. You.
Unbelievable.
Hey, everybody. Happy June.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Hey, everybody. Happy June.
So let's move on here because it has been a happy June and it will be a happy June for the rest of the month. What, 5-6 more days here. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Let's talk about recruiting a little bit. Alabama making some waves yesterday. Yesterday we talked about J.J. Finch a good bit. Having some warm vibes about J.J. might be joining the show soon. Warm vibes, don't want to promise anything, but warm vibes. Let's talk about two commits yesterday the Crimson Tide received, and we will talk about three misses that Alabama missed out on as well, and then we'll move into some basketball news as well, because Alabama basketball brought in a guy over the weekend, and Theo and I didn't talk about it at all yesterday, because Theo was just on cloud nine. Theo celebrated the Thunder's win more than the Thunder.
I didn't even is this like the, is this the, what do I want to say, the
Does this championship count less than the Lakers Mickey Mouse title does in the bubble? Because, like, you know, no one, that title doesn't count, obviously, because it was in the bubble. But Tyrese Halliburton goes down 5 minutes into the game, the best player on the opposing. I mean, this is like, this is the most Mickey Mouse title I've ever seen. This doesn't count. Like, Thunder fans can't, you can't hang this banner.
Theo's already hung it and got the tattoo across his chest.
Does he also have under there asterisk Halliburton was injured? Because that's what you got to have.
We'll redesign that tattoo.
Man, that was tough. That really sucked. I was watching the game with, I'm watching the game on mute while me and my wife are watching a TV show, and I'm kind of looking it back and forth, you know, and I just see it and I'm like, oh, you know, no. And she just kind of looks at me like, what? And I'm like, did you? And she's like, why do you? You're not a Pacers fan. And I'm like, I know, but come on.
It's the story.
I'm like, you don't, you got to follow it. Like
the story.
The Halliburton, you got to follow the story. Oh, man, that was so. And, you know, seeing him slamming the ground, screaming, no, no. Like, oh, it really hurt my heart to see. And then, yeah, obviously a disappointing game seven with just the way it went after that. There was a 5 or 7 minute stretch there where it looked like TJ McConnell was going to single handedly win it. And it was the coolest thing ever. But that was very quickly stifled by just a disastrous third quarter from the Pacers. And snowball went from there. Thunder win. And then, yeah, have celebrated the lamest way possible.
Look, we're not sitting here saying you should drink excessively, but, like, that's a moment where you should, you know.
I'm just
take the beer cans
I'll
up.
I'll say this. You just reached the absolute peak of your profession that you can't do any better than. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, maybe celebrate a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, Theo did celebrate yesterday.
Yes, he should have.
Distracted us from all this recruiting talk. Let's go into Jabari Barnett. Jabari Barnett commits to Alabama yesterday. Flips from Illinois. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay Tech running back. 5'11", 6'1", depends on what you're looking at, where you're looking at. 5'11", 205. And you see three-star recruit out of Florida. You see he's the 24/7 composite has him as the 69th best player in the state of Florida, the 30th best running back overall. You do a little digging and you think, why is, that's just not what Alabama's usually recruiting. Sure. Oh, was hurt last year as a junior.
I mean, I think really only played in 3 years, like 19 games.
So
not even one full season. I think all that's kind of combined into.
Yeah, let's talk about Jabari Barnett. Okay, regional track qualifier. He ran what? 11.6 in the 100, 22.61 in the 200, which is pretty good little times there. We would love to get that 11.6 to down to a 10.9, sure. But that's just a matter of a start, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably a false step there at the beginning or something. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows?
Mm-hmm. And so we put on his tape, and of course, yeah, like we said, hurt as a junior. He plays in 3 games as a junior, and then is kind of injured. And I really did some digging yesterday, but I couldn't find exact. Did you find exactly the injury?
No, I was not able to. I was unable to find out exactly what it was. You know, whatever it was, obviously it kept him out for, you know, he only played 3 games. So it kept him out for a decent chunk of time. I do think he was able to run track later in that same year, so it didn't keep him out so long, you know, so I'm hopeful that it wasn't anything overly serious, and maybe it was, you know, I don't even want to speculate on it. Just something that wasn't too serious.
Right.
You know? Because
it wasn't serious enough to keep him out of summer camps this year, because that's where Alabama, we see you. We look at your film. We see you, the athlete here.
And I think that's, you saw the tweet from with Courtney Morgan yesterday, the evaluations. That is what this staff has been about. And that is, you know, you're going to hear a lot of people saying, Alabama gets another 3-star, you know, and sure, whatever, say what you will.
Apparently some big schools are starting to get hot on his trail.
That's what it seems like. I think that this staff has really, really prided themselves on not falling for just the big names, the big star ratings, but actually doing their evaluations and really digging into who these players are and really trying to find out everything about them. And you're seeing that with some of these commits they're getting, you know, Jabari Barnett being the first one, not a guy that a lot of people really were super familiar with, but seems to be a pretty good player. You know, he only played in 3 games last year, but the little bit you got to see, I think you see a lot of what you want in a running back.
Yes. Do you see any former Alabama running back in his game? Do you see anybody that, like, When I say this, it's going to click with you if you haven't seen it. But do you see any? I don't want to poison
you.
You
mentioned one to me, and I'm going to save it because I think that might be what you're going to say here. But other than that, there was not one that jumped in my head originally.
Well, TJ Yeldon is listed at 6 foot, 6'1", 223 from his wiki page. And now, obviously, he's going to gain that 20 pounds or so during his college career. But to me, it is like very TJ Yeldon-esque.
Yeah, I think it is kind of similar.
He's got good vision, but he's in these three games worth of clips from his junior year, it is press the hole, slide into that backside, and boom, we're gone. We're going to press into the hole, but always have an eye for where that cut is, and I will smoothly cut into it and hit the accelerator. I see a lot of TJ Yeldon in this young man's game, and, you know, if we can protect the football, which it's not gonna, you're not going to see that in this huddle tape, whether he if he fumbles or if he didn't. That was really my only real detractor about TJ Yeldon, was sometimes he was a little careless with the football, dropping it on the goal line at LSU kind of thing. But I think that this is a good get. And I think that you're correct on the evaluation aspect. I think his straight line speed is pretty good. And his one cut speed, you know, he's going to look and find the hole. I'm watching it over again, and it is one cut and go. It is either I'm hitting the hole that as it's designed pretty well, or I'm one cutting and I'm going.
I think that's a good skill set to add to the room. Like, I think you've got a lot of guys in Alabama's running back room that kind of do a lot of different things well. So, you know, seems like everybody kind of has their own niche. This is another guy that you can throw into that fold that will, you know, fill a gap that you're looking for.
So Javari Burnett becomes the first running back in the class, and I guess combined with Ryel Kelly, we'll talk about that in a second. Alabama has moved up to 30th in the 24/7 Sports rankings with 10 total commits. He became number 9 yesterday. Let's talk about how it relates to Xavier Crowell, because a lot of people are finding me yesterday. Well, are we still going to get Crowell? Are we still going to get Crowell? And I think, yes, I think you're still in on – you're trying to get two backs in this class.
I think so. I think you are still in on Xavier Crowell. I will say the – and maybe – I don't know if you saw this. The Courtney Morgan tweet from – I want to say it was Sunday of – oh, let me get it pulled up now, because it was a he put a specific phrase in there, and it was a Japanese phrase, and it was a hashtag, and it was essentially meaning
the yin and yang.
No, it was like kind of one for the other. In comes, you know, out goes one, in comes another kind of thing. Let me see if I can get it pulled up here, if my computer wants to cooperate with me. But I am a bit curious if, you know, really just who that applied to, essentially. You know, we talked about some of the guys Alabama missed out on. I am wondering if that tweet was aimed at maybe somebody they landed yesterday and we don't have to worry about it. I am a little concerned that maybe that was, you know, a Xavier Crowell hint, though. I don't know, but just putting it out there. Here we go now. Let me see. Oh, where did it go?
Well,
Kaizen.
Okay, as you look up Kaizen, all the message board fodder, and take that for what it is.
Change for the better.
Okay, change for the better.
I don't know. Just, you know, typical coaches being cryptic on the timeline.
All these guys were wide receivers.
Yes, basically.
They all grew up in the 2000s wide receiver era.
But it's intriguing nonetheless, just considering some of the guys, you know, like we said, some of the guys in Alabama missed out on. What I am hopeful for, and I think we're going to get into it a little bit more, but you know, you miss out on Kamari Brooks. You've got Xavier Griffin committing later this week. I am hopeful that that is what the Kaizen is in reference to. But
sure,
we'll see.
Sure, yes. All the fodder is that Xavier Crowell has silently committed already, and that he's just waiting on this announcement to make it happen. Is he the one that you said is going to rent a helicopter?
Oh, I don't know. I think that was Zion Gibson.
Okay. But
when he committed back in December, if I recall.
You've already got your date set for a lot of these guys. Mama's coming in. Grandma's coming in. You know, whoever's coming in.
For a player like Xavier Crowell, like it's going to be an event.
So I think that Alabama's in a good position for him. What did you say his date was? The 26th?
Yeah, I've got a list of about 8 or 10 guys here coming up. Xavier Correll on June 26th. Yes. Max Sutter also on June 26th. Ooh. Malachi Lee, June 27th. Deacon Schmidt, June 28th. Xavier Griffin, June 29th. Sadarian Morgan, July 2nd. Jaira Edwards, July 5th. Karan Maycock, July 7th. And Nick Abrams, the 2nd, on July 16th.
So I think you're looking pretty good at running back. After Javari Burnett commits yesterday, you add Xavier Crowell, and these two guys are going to make a 1-2 punch.
I think Alabama made a little bit of a push for the Miami commit, Javian Mallory, over the last 2 weeks or so. But from everything I've seen, he's pretty much locked in with the Hurricanes. So I think it's a bit telling that there's not really any other running backs that are kind of in the Alabama sphere right now other than Xavier Crowell. Like, I think this is a guy that they have really focused on and, you know, seemingly are fairly confident they're going to get.
Before we hit the next recruit, let's talk about a concept here. Because it applies to J.J. Finch yesterday. It applies to Javari Burnett today and to Ryel Kelly. You look at these recruiting rankings, and you go on the message board, and you see three-star, mm-hmm. nah, nah, nah. And I'm one of my followers that I love deeply is, oh, is this Alabama spending less NIL money, looking for value, XYZ? Are they you know, playing the game, you know, yeah. manipulating the $17 million, you know, cap number? And I don't know if that's true. I don't think. I think there's a high.
Part of it,
I think there's a high chance at that. But what I want to ask you about is these recruiting services. J.J. Finch yesterday. We're in Indiana. You're, how many camps are you going to? I don't know. We'll get into that if we're able to interview him. But to me, I'm not sure that he was up there on all these recruiting services. Right? How many? Look, I think On3 Sports and 24/7, they provide a valuable yes. framework, and I think that they genuinely try hard to get their jobs correct.
Yeah,
and I think they genuinely try hard not to be biased, this, that, and the other. But how in the world can you see 1,000 recruits?
Exactly,
and rank them? Like, are you? Is it one person? Is it 10 people? It's probably a team. It's sure. definitely a team. But the team. Oh, is my opinion worth more than Billy's opinion? I'm on the team. I'm, you know, you probably got a higher level of scouts and a lower level of scouts. And you just are, it becomes opinionated. It mm-hmm. becomes, and you can only have so many 5-stars, and then it goes to 4-stars. And then, so my question is, to your evaluation point with Courtney Morgan, he talked evaluations with the uptick yeah. chart. I think that guys like J.J. Finch, guys like Javari Burnett, guys like Ryel Kelly, you get rated something, and, oh, if you don't show up to camps, then we just rate you something.
Yep.
We just give you a rating, and we slot you in where we think is probably about right, and, you know, we don't want to offend anybody, but we're not going to also take big limbs. People talk about the Bama bump, and I think these staves are, oh, I see a Javari Burnett. He only played 3 games last year. I see him in camp. I see his tape. We like what he can do. Mm-hmm. We don't care that Billy Sportsball from On3 Sports rated him as a 3-star recruit. He's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah.
You talk to him. You get to know the family. It's a fit. Well, Javari Burnett gets committed. Billy Sportsball from 24/7 Sports goes, exactly.
Yep.
He goes, maybe I need to look at him this senior year a little bit more as he plays and if he stays healthy. We want you to stay healthy. We want everybody to stay healthy, you know, like regardless of what school you're going to. Stay healthy, of course. But like Billy Sportsball starts to see him, that's a Bama commit. That's a Bama commit. And you're going to get re-rankings. You're going to get re-rankings in August. You're going to get re-rankings in December. You're going to get re-rankings again and final rankings February, March or so. And that's how your Keelan Russell goes from, oh, this 3.5-star committed to SMU. Oh, dominates Elite 11. Oh, is a multi-time state champion at Duncanville. Oh, maybe he is a bad dude. Maybe he does look like Jaden Daniels, number one overall player.
Bingo. You got to play the game.
I just don't think, I don't think it's worth it to get worked up over star rankings.
No, I am in complete agreement. I think at this point, given I know it's only 1 year to go off of, not really even, hardly even a year to go off of, because, you know, I think a lot of what we're kind of basing our opinion off of is the 25 class, which mm-hmm. we've yet to really see take the field, but I am hopeful. I think this staff has done a great job evaluating talent so far, and I think they have given us reason to trust them. You mentioned, you know, just
guys being not really doing the camp circuit. Like Lotzier Brooks, I think, is a prime example of that.
Yes, from the past exactly.
Class. Three-star prospect. But you watch the guy play, that is not a three-star receiver. He just isn't. He has a different kind of skill set out on the field that we have not seen from many players. You know, we didn't get to see a ton of him, but you saw the clips, you saw the videos.
Ryan Grubb seemed to love him in spring camp.
I you know, that is a just prime example of why you don't look. Joe said it perfectly. These guys are doing their job. They're trying to do their job well. It's a very hard job to do, though. You're just going to miss some guys. It is what it is. So it's not worth getting so worked up over on the you know, star ranking as much. Just watch the guys. Watch the tape. Like, they all put their highlights out there. They all put their huddle film out there. Just go watch it. Like, you can get a lot from just watching it. You can get a pretty good understanding of if this guy's going to be a decent player or not. You know, we talked about Jet Tomala and how you could pretty much immediately tell, oh yeah, his competition may not be that great, but you see a lot of traits that you understand why Alabama wanted him. You just have to go watch for yourself, folks. Don't get so worked up on these star rankings. They're at the end of the day, when you get to the NFL, nobody remembers what you were. If you were a 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, until they do your little E60. Oh, this guy was 0-star prospect. You know, that's what they'll do when Cam Ward wins a Super Bowl. But it's just not it's not worth getting that worked up over. It's just, at the end of the day, an arbitrary digital thing on a computer, a star ranking.
And like, when you think about it from a media standpoint, in our industry right now, lots of cuts. Okay, that's just, I'm not complaining. This is not a complaint. This is just an evaluation. Lots of cuts. So, do you think On3 Sports and 24/7 are experiencing similar cuts and thinking, oh, maybe we don't need 20 scouts, we need 17 to evaluate? And like, you just end up throwing a number at some of these kids. Look, we're going to talk about Kamari Brooks. I was in love with Kamari Brooks, and I still am. Sorry, buddy. I still are, and I'll pull for you, definitely. But
he will be a five. Firmly believe that that's a first-round pick right there.
Right. And so that's a perfect example. You say, Joe, well, what is he? It's a five-star player. If they come to me, that's a five-star.
Yes.
Right? Because that's who I've seen, and that's who I'm looking at, and that's his tape pops off the film to me, pops off the page to me. But you go to all his rankings, it's a four-star player. Like, people will just get fixated on certain prospects. I was fixated on Kamari Brooks. We'll just say that. And now I got to go really start to look at Xavier Griffin and start to get fixated on that. Mm-hmm. But it's just not a... It's not a good practice to, Billy was a 3-star. Why the heck is he being recruited? Take us back to Castellanos' comment. This is their jobs. This is DeBoer's, Sheridan's, this is Shepard's, this is Womack's job. This is Courtney Morgan's job, right? Yeah. Courtney Morgan's job is to, is Billy, I ignore the noise. I don't care what he's ranking. Billy, 6'1", 205. Man, runs a fast 40, smooth hips. I like your vision on tape. Javari Burnett, we want to offer you a scholar. We need a running back. Yep. You fit the mold of all our measurables. We like you. Obviously conversations with parents and, all that stuff. You got to make it a fit as well. But it's like these are their jobs. They are hinging their jobs on these guys. I don't necessarily think that, to my friend's point about value, I don't necessarily think that plays that heavily, but if it can be a factor of, you're not a 5-star and I can get you for extra value, I think it does help. But it's really and truly, it's a, who do we like? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's move right into Ryall Kelly.
Oh, man.
Let's move right into Ryall Kelly. And the first thing you notice, Ryall Kelly, when I pull up your page, is at 6'3". Yeah,
Mr.
Six,
Fantastic.
Yes, exactly. So you see 6'3", 180 on the 24/7 page, and you think, holy bleep, that is just like every other defensive back that we're recruiting. That's the Dejon Lee. Look at Xavier Brown. Man. That's Cam Calhoun's length. That's Xavier Mincy's length. And it's just like, they've got a type. We're evaluating body shape. We're evaluating your tape. We're evaluating. And dude plays in Cincinnati, which is a high.
I mean, same high school that Justin Woods is from, or Justin Hill is from. Same high school that Cam Calhoun is from. So, pretty good players. I've seen some people also even say he might be 6'4". Yeah, I mean, just to really add an extra little bit of excitement there. And he is, you know, keep in mind, going into his senior season, could very well, you know, grow another inch or so.
I just don't care. I don't want to be disrespectful to 24/7 or to On3 because they do a good job. Yes. They give you a good framework.
Those guys that are doing that work, I think, are trying their hardest to do it the best that they can.
Yes. But I just don't necessarily, like, and maybe it's crimson colored glasses, but I think I would say the same if I were, our friend Brooks Austin covering University of Georgia, for Georgia Bulldogs on SI. Like, watch Brooks Austin's show. He does kind of what we do for Georgia, at a little higher level, at a lot of higher level. We're getting there. We're behind you, Brooks. But like, Brooks is doing the same thing, looking at film and looking at players, and you look at Georgia, and their recruiting class is pretty nice, obviously. But, yeah, like, when they pull in a 3-star recruit, or when they pull in a, oh, this guy's not as juicy, like, you trust Kirby Smart. Yep. You trust Glenn Schumann. You trust these guys, Mike Bobo, to bring in the right guys. And, like, I'm in the camp where I trust Courtney Morgan.
I do, too. I think, like I said, obviously we're going to find out. We're going to have a much more concrete idea of just how much we trust him after this year when we see the impact of this, you know, what was really their first kind of full, their own recruiting class, the 2025 class. But I think just given what they did in 2024, bringing all those, you know, really piecing that class back together, getting the talent that they did, I trust them. I trust their talent evaluation. I think that they have shown us that they have the ability to do it and do it at a very high level.
Georgia signed 5 3-star recruits in the class of 2025. I'm looking at 24, and they currently have 26. I'm looking at 26, the cycle mm-hmm. we're currently in. And they currently have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 3-star recruits and 1 unranked. Now that it's a punter for the unranked guy, mm-hmm. but you got a kicker who's a 3-star. So 8 3-star recruits, 8 3-star position players. 1, 2. Let me just double count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 position players for the Georgia Bulldogs are ranked as a 3-star recruit. Do we trust Kirby Smart to have an eye for talent?
Yeah, I think they're probably doing okay over there. And I think, like you said too, like, while this is not the main focus, and I don't think it is for anyone, any team, really, anyone, the, you know, saving money aspect of it, but, like, both things can be true.
Sure.
You can go get a great player while also saying, oh, awesome, he's not the number one at his position, I don't have to pay him $8 million over the next 3 years. Sweet. You know, both of those things, you know, they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
All right, so Ryel Kelly, let's dive really deeper into it because I just wanted to make that point. I wanted to make the point in between 3-star recruits because, yeah, I don't really give a rip that they're ranked as a 3-star recruit. Look at them on tape. Go to Huddle and type them in. My only complaint with Huddle is
I was struggling with this yesterday, and I have a feeling it's going to be what you're going to say.
No, it is the circle with the little thing that says wait for it. Every single time, wait for it. It's like I'm watching your film.
I have already figured out that you're that guy. I know what number you are. You don't have to do it every time.
I am waiting for you to make a play on this clip right here. But that's just an ancillary complaint. Rangy.
Golly, Rangy is right. The guy is like, I don't even know, like. Like I did say, he's like a spider. Like, he just reaches out and grabs everything. It's crazy. There's a handful of clips throughout this highlight tape where he is, you know, leaping up to make plays on a ball that maybe he's gotten a little bit beat on, but, like, it doesn't matter because he's just so tall. He just sticks an arm up there and bats it away, and it's like, all right, there's a nice pass deflection. I love what this guy can do. I think you said it right there, Rangy. One of the first plays on that tape is him going like 35 yards across the field to make a pick. He just sprints in a straight line from one side of the field to the other, basically. He's very, very, I like that. I trust his stats evaluation. I think they have evaluated, they have seen what they want in a defensive back in this guy.
Yeah.
So they certainly, you know, they went and got him.
So Rangy in the passing game. But I also really like, okay, we see the play, we go to the play. We see the ball, see ball, hit ball. not quite a Bray Hubbard type see ball, hit ball, but for a high schooler, for a junior, you've got the baseline is there. You want to you coach that up a little bit more. And I think, you know, when we first were looking at it yesterday, I thought, oh, is that Red Morgan? And I think Red probably is a little more intense than what we're seeing right here. But elements of, oh, plays coming downhill. I got to fill the funnel, yeah. fill in that gap, fill the alley, and bam, I'm filling the alley just fine.
Yeah, there's not any hesitation there. No, you know, he's not scared at all to get in there and be the guy that has to deliver the hit. He's like, oh, that's my job on this play? No big deal. Let's go make it done. Let's go get it done.
So I'm, you know, I've said it about the last three guys. I think that there is tools. There's a lot of tools here that if you're, if you are, look at him not giving up on a play on the backside. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Specifically, too, like at the defensive back position, we've talked about how deep they are there.
Oh, look at him. He gets beat and just doesn't give up on it again.
Ryle Kelly gets on campus next year. He's got plenty of time to really get super comfortable. You know, like this is a deep, deep unit. I think it's not like he has to get here and immediately be a starter as a freshman.
Sure. Exactly. So you see 180 pounds. You can put another 20 pounds on him.
Yeah.
He's probably going to find 5 to 10 pounds this senior year. And so he comes on campus at 190, 192 roughly.
Probably
and
a then, 6'4".
Right. And then you get him in the program and you say, hey, buddy, we're going to get you another 10 pounds. You're at 205, 215, and you're smacking people.
Man. You said it already. I've said it. We might be wearing the crimson colored glasses, but I will continue to trust this staff until they give me a reason not to. I think that they are.
Ooh, kickoff coverage. Highlight?
Love that.
Okay.
I love what they're
fly
doing.
Fly down there on kickoff coverage and get somebody. Yes, sir, he will.
I mean, I think they got a lot of guys working very hard on evaluating these prospects, and they're doing a good job. I think they're making an effort to go get guys that may be a little more underrated, maybe, you know, the guys that not everybody is talking about, and, you know, find really talented guys doing that.
Right. The only thing that I'm seeing here more and more is less, like, so I said Red Morgan. Mm-hmm. Red plays Husky, right? Red's going to be probably you're in the box. This guy is deep. Deep safety, playing free safety a lot of the time. So when Keon Sab moves on, you're going to open up that spot for you.
Do you think that's where he plays, or do you think that's just a, hey, you're the best guy out here, go do that?
I think with the range that he has, the length that he has, that's where I might start him.
Yeah,
that's where I might start him for sure. But could you see him moving up and playing Husky? Yeah, I mean, I think you've got a lot of tools right there, and I've said that about the last three recruits. Lots of tools, and look, that's what you want. You bring guys in with tools, develop them.
6 foot high jump, by the way.
My dad will love that track.
22, 10, 200 meter.
That's good.
It's pretty good.
Yes, that's good. That's a good player.
Number 84 safety in the country, number 40 player in the state.
Just give them some time. They'll reevaluate all these jokers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they do it, like you said, 2, 3, 4 times a year, and he'll be, I'm sure, just every time they do a new ranking.
So Alabama now, 3 recruits in the last, 20 hours? Oh, sorry, 30-something hours or day and a half, 36, 40 hours. And Mason just read you the list a couple minutes ago of who's coming up. Max Sutter. Whew! I think that's the next big dog coming down the pipe. And then Owen Cabell.
Owen Cabell.
I would look for those two names next around the on the Hayes Fawcett field.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten a confirmed date for Cabell, at least from what I've seen. But everything I have seen, I think he really enjoyed his recent visit to Alabama, and you know, maybe leaning towards the Crimson Tide.
Oh, Dad. Okay, so let's move to misses yesterday. Sad misses. Alabama, we saw 3 guys, 3 of its surrogates, Titan Davis going to Michigan, mm-hmm. Roman Voss going to Minnesota, and Kamari Brooks going to UGA. Now, Brooks hurts me the most. Yep. Roman Voss is a Minnesota native, so he's staying home.
Yep.
And Titan Davis was a pretty big-time recruit, but I think, Tank Jones is going to fill that gap?
I think so, yeah. That's what I'm, kind of leaning toward. I think Alabama kind of backed off of him. I don't know.
Now, but I said that facetiously about Kamari Brooks. Are you saying that with some seriousness about Titan Davis?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do think Alabama backed off of Titan Davis a bit. I think money, you know, money was a bit of a thing. You see where he goes, Michigan. So, you know, I think
get that Dave Portnoy money.
Yeah, I think he got a decent paycheck to go to Michigan. Nothing against him. Go get make your money, buddy. But I think Alabama maybe checked out on him within the last couple of weeks. You know, was still keeping tabs on him, but since he was, I think he was one of the guys that was here in that first group May 30th. And since then, you know, I just haven't really seen much between about, you know, him and Alabama. So I think it was, you know, they kind of tested the waters there and realized, yeah, this might not be for us, and have pivoted elsewhere to maybe an in-state guy like Tank Jones.
Pivot.
But Kamari Brooks, this one hurts me.
Yeah, because I think he's going to be a real player. Yeah, and every time you play Georgia, it's going to be you need to find out where Kamari Brooks is and block him.
Yeah. This was 6'4", 220, number 14 edge rusher in the class, number 13 player in the state of Georgia. Just a ridiculously athletic defender, really long arms, really can cover a lot of ground quick, has like really, really good bend around the edge, is not afraid
explosive.
To he does everything that you want in an edge rusher. Yep. You go to his highlights, you watch it, the very first play on there, you know, oh wow, he just took out two guys by himself and then made the tackle. Yeah, it's tough to miss out on a guy like this. But like I said, Alabama, you have the option to pivot here. Yeah, I think that you have to pivot here. And I'm looking at five-star linebacker Xavier Griffin. Not necessarily the exact type of prospect. I do think Kamari Brooks is a little bit more of a pure, like, edge guy. Xavier Griffin has a little bit more of the range to play some of that stand-up off-ball linebacker. I look at him as a little bit closer to, like, a Jihad Campbell, you know, with that just ability to just throw him out there anywhere, basically, and he's going to make plays. But, you know, I'm perfectly fine with another Jihad Campbell. I don't know about you. That'd be cool with me.
It turned out pretty well for the Crimson Tide.
I'd feel pretty good about that. And then, you know, also you got another linebacker, Nick Abrams, who I think is a really good player. I definitely think he's a bit more of an off-ball guy, but, you know, you see on his tape a little bit the ability to rush the passer. So I think some of these guys that Alabama is targeting with the linebacker room are really, they're just going after guys that kind of can do it all. And it's like, once you get here, we're going to figure out what you're really the best at, and then we'll plug you in there.
So I need to watch Xavier Griffin today because I really had not. I was already assuming, okay, that Alabama's in a good spot for him. But now I got to really get to know what his skill sets can be. You miss these three guys, but it's just, and yes, they're highly ranked, and so you see the meltdown on the message boards. Oh, can we not recruit? I think that there's some factors going into all of them. I think that Roman Voss wants to stay home. Kamari Brooks, I mean, you're battling Georgia. It's a coin flip at that point. Titan Davis, you're battling Michigan. It's a coin flip at that point.
Maybe many coins, you know?
Absolutely. So, still looking pretty good on the recruiting trail. We will really try to look for Max Sutter on the 26th, and I think that you're going to keep this momentum rolling for the Crimson Tide. You moved from what, 45, 42, up to 30 yesterday. So just give it a little more time. You're going to jump. You're going to keep jumping up. You're going to keep jumping up, and especially as these guys get reevaluated by all the scouts at On3 Sports and 24/7, I think that you will continue to move on up.
I feel pretty good about it.
All right, last little bit.
Hey, everybody. Happy June.
Let's talk about the newest Alabama basketball player that we did not talk about at all yesterday. Collins Onyeka.
Onyejiaka.
Thank you. Say it again.
Onyejiaka.
Onyejiaka.
That's what I was able to find online.
All right. Say one more time.
Onyejiaka. Onyejiaka. From Nigeria,
Onyejiaka. Onyejiaka. Collins Onyejiaka. One of my biggest pet peeves is when a media person doesn't know how to say it. Oh, it's Tua. Tua T. It's DJU.
What's even worse to me is when they will jokingly say it wrong and try to like laugh it off as like, you know, and it's like, no, you're just being rude. You're just being a mean, like, just learn the guy's name. You can't just, I'm not just going to, that makes me angry. I'll just stop it there.
Collins.
Learn people's names.
Onyejiaka is a big boy.
Large man.
Reclassifies into the class. I had a friend one of our listeners would be, oh, do you think Alabama's going to add another player? And I thought, well, if they can find a big, maybe, but I don't know of any big that's really out there. This young man reclassifies into this class, originally on track for this signing, this coming signing day, to come and join in 26. Well, he's joining at 25. So I believe that that means that he's going to be here 2 years, right? Is that the NBA rules? No, he still, he had to be 19. So he could be a one and done, but I don't see that in this player. 6'10", 270 pounds. He was rated as a 4-star player, number 19 center in the 26 class. Now that he's moving into the 25 class, he's probably going to fall a little bit. But you put his film on, and really, we were looking at zero gravity prep highlights, and he is. I had a friend that said, oh, he looks like Zion Williamson. A little, maybe not without the guard skills that Zion had, but big, thick man. But I said it to Mason. I said, they'll probably make him lose 10, 15 pounds. And then I put this tape on. I'm like, I don't know where that 10, 15 pounds is going to come from. He's a lean-bodied, muscled man at 6'10". So, Coach Oates?
Look. We've said it a couple times. We were excited about, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and say, like, bingo, Alabama finally has their big that they've been looking for. But I am more optimistic about this gentleman than I have been about almost anybody else that has tried to take over that role.
Yeah, I mean, you pair him with Noel Williamson, you pair him with Aiden Sherrell, you pair him with some of these big guys that you've already brought in. I think that this is exactly an addition, because look, Aiden and Noah are a little bit on the thin side, which okay.
Maybe a little on the soft side.
Could be.
Just a touch.
And I think this guy's a block.
I think this guy is he is not soft by any means. I think he is going to bring that level of just extra oomph that this team kind of needs, I think. Looks like he is going to be, you know.
You see it at a high school level. Yes. But you're going to be stepping up and playing against older fellas.
But just attitude-wise, it seems like, you know, I don't know that Alabama really has that guy with that kind of killer instinct down low, especially that guy that is just going to be like, I'm fighting people for rebounds. I am going to fight someone to get a bucket here. It kind of seems like Collins Onyedioka is that kind of player.
Little Mo D. Mm-hmm. Little Mo D in him, but a little taller, a lot thicker.
Yeah. This is bigger Mo. This is Mo D plus.
I like it. I'm a fan. And I'm a fan of Coach Oates continuing to curate the roster. I think that this fella might be here for 2 years, so he might not see a ton of time this year. But I think those eight minutes a game that he's getting will pay dividends on the next season. And I think those 8 to 12 minutes a game that he's probably going to be slated for are going to be valuable in terms of giving Sherrell, giving Williamson, giving some of these other bigs a little bit of a breather.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Absolutely. So, we're about out of it. We're about out of time, out of space for the day. Tomorrow we're going to be doing Know Your Enemy. We got to pick another Know Your Enemy here, Mason. Let's go to All Things Bama. Let's go to my last. Our last one was Missouri. So let's check the boxes off who all we've done. We've done Missouri. We've done Texas, Florida, Georgia, both the Cupcakes, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. What if I? Tennessee feels about right. Maybe Tennessee, LSU would be fun. You want to just do LSU and I'll just spray a bunch of DMs into some LSU riders and see what happens.
Yeah, sure. Let's see that.
All right. Let's go Tigers.
LSU's an interesting team this year. Ba-da, I feel like it's a bit of boom or bust in Baton Rouge this year.
Ba-da, ba-da, da.
You know, kind of feels like if it doesn't go well, Brian Kelly's chair might be heating up.
That would be fun.
That's what it seems like. I don't know. I don't know that they love him very much.
Well, we'll talk about LSU tomorrow, and we will talk a lot about other issues, other concepts, other fun stuff. You can call us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to be a part of the show, you can leave us a comment at JoeGaither6, at MA Woods _ Bama Central. on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We're always strolling and rolling, looking at all the comments. We appreciate everybody joining us and sharing the show with a friend. I will chase this DM with JJ Finch because I think that we've got a line, you know, got a small bite, got to reel it in here and see if we can get him on the show for you guys to get to know Alabama's newest defensive line commit. We would look forward to that. We would love that. And we'll hope to make that happen for you guys right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.